worry about anything but in everything by prayer and petition. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for listening today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us to begin with in the book of 1 Chronicles, chapter 4. 1 Chronicles chapter 4, beginning at verse 9. There was a man named Jabez who was more honorable than any of his brothers. His mother named him Jabez because his birth had been so painful. He was the one who prayed to the God of Israel, "Oh, that you would bless me and expand my territory. Please be with me in all that I do and keep me from all trouble and pain." And God granted him his request. Verses 9 and 10, 1 Chronicles chapter 4. And then Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Thank you, Father, once again, for the wonderful gift, the privilege, the honor, the blessing that is ours of being able to come to you in prayer each and every day of our lives. Thank you for being a Heavenly Father that always is listening for the prayers of His children. Father, we do come and first confess, Lord, so often, Father, we have not loved you and we have not loved one another in so many ways. We confess these are our wrongs, Lord. By faith, we repent of them. Forgive us, Lord, for all the wrong things we've done. And Lord, anoint us afresh with the spirit of prayer. Set us on fire with the spirit of prayer. Empower us to be the praying church you've called us to be. And Lord, more and more, teach us how to pray and help us to, by the power of your spirit, make prayer the priority you have called us to make it in our lives as followers of Christ. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thank you for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Isaac Jackson is our producer. He's going to lead us in prayer at this time.
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for these moments. And Father, thank you so much for Jesus' sacrifice that allows us to walk with the Holy Spirit. Father, I ask that you would reveal what that means more and more to us, that we would walk in that reality more and more. And Father, thank you so much for your commands and how the Holy Spirit speaks to our hearts and to telling us about your ways. Father, I ask that you'd help us to walk more in obedience to your ways, that we could grow more fruit in your kingdom, and that we'd look to the things of heaven instead of just being blinded by the things of this world. Thank you so much for your greater ways. In your holy name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Isaac. And thank you again for being a part of our listening family. One area of discipleship in the life of all of us as believers, of course, that's it's critical and it's foundational to everything in the kingdom of God, it's our prayer life. Every believer is called to be a prayer warrior, whether we fully understand that or not. The Word of God tells us in the scripture we quote at the beginning of the broadcast, Philippians 4, 6, and 7, "Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." We're called to pray. God also commands us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. He tells us to pray without ceasing. Well, the fact is, also the church is referred to as the house of prayer. So apparently, our prayer life is very, very important. And in my experience as a pastor over many years is that everyone can use help in their prayer life. Absolutely every believer all over the world can use help, strength, and encouragement in their prayer life. Well, I want to share with you briefly about a tool, a book I had the privilege of writing entitled The Intercession Chronicles. And I would mention that the book, it is fiction, but at the same time, it's a serious tool to help strengthen and set your prayer life on fire. Again, the title of the book, The Intercession Chronicles. And I want to mention, too, that it's a tool both to strengthen and to help and encourage your prayer life, but also we're also using it as a tool that, in part, is a tool for fundraising for our mobile pregnancy ministry, the Pregnancy Care and Hope Center ministry, too. My email is joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. If you happen to would like to get a copy of the book, the price is only $9, but it is a tool. It's fiction, but at the same time, it's a tool to strengthen your prayer life. But also, it does have a prayer guide at the back of the book that I would encourage you to take time to utilize to pray through actually every day. It has several Bible-based prayers that I would encourage you to make it a goal to pray daily. I want to share just the words of insight about the book that are actually on the back of the book. It says these words: "What difference did it make that I prayed or didn't pray? What difference did it make what I prayed or didn't pray for today? Or did it really matter at all? What critically important place does prayer have in your life or anyone's life? Are you, quote unquote, too busy to pray? Important questions. This story slash parable about prayer both explores these questions and helps to answer them. Jesse Lenore is a common man and an extraordinary man at the same time. He's common in that he looks and appears to be pretty ordinary, but Jesse is a man who takes prayer very, very seriously. And that's what makes him and his life extraordinary. Because of his walk with God and his prayer life, angels are at work very aggressively and fruitfully in and around his life. Read the story of Jesse's extraordinary life." Again, the title of the book is The Intercession Chronicles. And if you think you'd like to get a copy, please email us at joseph@afr.net, and we'd be glad to see about getting a copy to you. Would mention that it is available also in the AFA Bookstore Resource Center as well as it's available on Amazon and a number of other normal book platforms. But if you order it through us, it will benefit our mobile pregnancy ministry. So we invite you to do that if you so desire to get a copy of the book. I'm going to take time now to share an article that's an excerpt from the book entitled Mission in the Sea. And again, keep in mind, as I said, the book is meant to be a tool through which the Holy Spirit can reach to set your prayer life on fire and strengthen your prayer life as well. The title of the article again, Mission in the Sea. And just for your information then, scenes from the book regularly switch between earth to heaven, and all characters listed are, of course, people except Daniel and his 24 companions who are angels in the story. Jenny Mae Lenore sat up in bed very suddenly. All at once, she was wide awake. She knew the voice of the Holy Spirit speaking to her about a very serious matter. The Holy Spirit told her, "Jesse and his companions are in serious trouble. You must pray and intercede for their deliverance." Jenny Mae quickly jumped from her bed, turned and got on her knees beside her bed, and she began to pray for Jesse and his companions. "Lord, wherever Jesse and his companions are, I surround him and the others with faith and love and mercy. Lord, deliver them from hurt, harm, and danger. For Jesse and his companions, I pray. Today, they dwell in the secret place of the Most High, and so they abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Today, I say to the Lord, you are their refuge and their fortress. You're our God, in you do we trust. Surely you deliver them from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. You cover them with your feathers, and under your wings do they trust. Your truth is their shield and buckler. So they are not afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flies by day, nor for the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor for the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at their side and 10,000 at their right hand, but it shall not come near them. Only with their eyes will they look and see the reward of the wicked, because they have made the Lord their refuge, even the Most High, their habitation. No evil will befall them, nor does any plague come near their dwelling. For he gives his angels charge over them and keeps them in all their ways. They bear them up in their hands, lest they dash their foot against a stone. They tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent. They trample underfoot. Because I have set my love upon him, therefore he delivers them. He sets them on high because I have known his name. We call upon him and he answers us. He is with us in trouble. He delivers them and honors them with long life. He satisfies them and shows them his salvation. In Jesus' name, Amen. She prayed for a few other surrounding matters and then quickly climbed into bed, feeling tired, yet feeling much at peace. Now the scene changes to Jesse, who is in the military on a mission in the ocean on a submarine. I'd been a part of a Ranger unit for more than 2 years when our unit was selected to be a part of a special ops assignment that involved a joint operation aboard the Navy, a joint operation with the Navy aboard the nuclear submarine, the USS Seahawk. The Seahawk had a crew of about 112 sailors, and our unit consisted of 7 U.S. Army Rangers. We were to be working specifically with a Navy SEAL team of about 8 men. It was a commando raid that required the unique skills of the Rangers along with the Navy SEALs in our unit working together. This was, of course, my first trip on a U.S. submarine. The operation of the sub fascinated me. One day we were given a tour of the sub, and it was amazing to watch the crew in operation of that huge underwater vessel. On our 5th day at sea, I was observing the ship operations on the con when I heard an emergency siren go off. It continued to blare for about 20 minutes or so before it stopped. I felt the entire sub lunge forward, and the lights on the ship blinked off for a few minutes and then came back on. I quickly was aware that the entire crew went into emergency operation mode. The whole ship was filled with alarm and concern for a long while. An hour passed, then 2 hours. Eventually, the XO came into the area where we were. He asked us to sit down. He then proceeded to explain what had happened. There had been a rupture in one of the sub's nuclear reactors followed by a fire. The situation was very serious. The damage from these problems had affected the power for the entire sub. We actually are not sure how much longer we can run. Time continued to pass. Fear seemed to be so thick in the air. Once again, the XO came in and shared the most current news. We're basically dead in the water. We're now resting on the ocean floor. In order for us to be rescued with the kind of operation needed, well, it just looks pretty bad. This sub could possibly be our tomb. Finally, after about another 20 minutes, the captain came on the intercom. Men, this is the captain. As many of you know now, our situation looks very serious. We're in a really difficult situation right now. Now, I want to know this. Does anyone on this ship know how to pray? If you do, I want to invite you to the mic, and I want you to pray with and for the entire crew. For several minutes, there was a lot of buzz among the sailors, but not a single sailor or individual volunteered to pray. But a few moments later, the XO brought a young Army Ranger to the captain and said, "Sir, this soldier said he knows how to pray." "Sergeant Lenore, sir, I know how to pray, and so does my mother back home." The captain paused and looked at Sergeant Lenore with an odd stare, then looked him up and down. Then said, "Come on, Sergeant, and pray." Just before the captain handed the mic to Sergeant Lenore, he said on the intercom, "Sergeant Lenore, one of our Army Ranger guests, is going to pray for us. And while he prays, everybody else do your best to pray the best way you know how. Also pray, I want you, as the whole crew, to pray that his mother will pray for us too." With that, Sergeant Lenore took the mic and began to pray. And as he prayed, there were many other voices being lifted to God as well all over the ship. One young sailor said to his fellow sailor named Tom, who also was attempting to pray, "Hey, Tom, I thought you said you were an atheist. Who do atheists pray to?" Tom responded, "As of today, I'm suspending my atheism. I ain't ready to die. If God answers our prayers, I'm suspending my atheism permanently. I'm going to start believing in him." We'll pick up on the other side. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. We'll be right back.
That is never far away.
Music from Mercy Me with The Hurt and the Healer. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. We're picking up, continuing to read an article from the AFA Stand entitled Mission in the Sea. It's an excerpt from the book, The Intercession Chronicles, a book that I had the privilege of writing. Picking up with that article, the captain paused and looked at Sergeant Lenore with an odd stare, then looked him up and down. Then the captain said, "Come on, Sergeant, and pray." Just before the captain handed the mic to Sergeant Lenore, he said on the intercom, "Sergeant Lenore, one of our Army Ranger guests, is going to pray for us. And while he prays, everyone else do your best to pray the best way you know how. Also pray that his mother will pray for us." With that, Sergeant Lenore took the mic and began to pray. And as he prayed on the intercom, there were many other voices being lifted to God as well, where they were all over the ship. One young sailor said to his fellow sailor named Tom, who also was attempting to pray, "Hey, Tom, I thought you said you were an atheist. Who do atheists pray to?" Tom responded, "As of today, I'm suspending my atheism. I ain't ready to die. If God answers our prayers, I'm suspending my atheism permanently, and I'm going to start believing in him." Sergeant Lenore prayed for about around 7 minutes and then ended, "In the name of Jesus, amen." And amens echoed throughout the ship. "Well," said the captain, "what now?" Sergeant Lenore responded, "Now we start thanking God and praising him for hearing our prayer." And Sergeant Lenore began to thank and praise God out loud before all those on the con. The captain just stared at Jesse with a blank stare and continued as Jesse went on praising and thanking God. After about 3 minutes passed, an extremely loud wrenching noise could be heard all over the sub. The whole submarine began to lift, and then it started to move. The sonar tech yelled, "Captain, I don't know how, but we are rising. We're lifted. We've lifted from the ocean floor, and we're rising." The captain called the chief engineer and said, "Has any of our power been restored?" The chief engineer said, "None at all, Captain," in a thoroughly bewildered tone. The XO said, "Sure, sir, as sure as we're here, we are surfacing." The captain looked at Sergeant Lenore and whispered in a very weak voice, "How?" Sergeant Lenore responded, "By the power of my God, who hears and answers prayer." The captain looked at Sergeant Lenore and his eyes came wide open. "Yep, that must be God," hollered the captain. The submarine continued to rise through the ocean waters and rose, and within 25 minutes, the USS Seahawk was sitting on the ocean surface. And somehow, a few minutes after surfacing, the sub's full power was restored. Praise God. Now the scene switches to Daniel and 24 power angels who are under his command in the midst of an angelic assignment. Daniel and 24 powerful angels together dove into the sea and raced to the bottom of the ocean. There they surrounded the USS Seahawk, spread themselves evenly all the way around the hull of the ship. And on Daniel's command, they started to lift the entire 18,400-ton submarine. The 25 angels all used their massive power to help lift the sub off the ocean floor and carried it to the surface of the Atlantic Ocean. Daniel then, with one touch, restored the ship's entire power. Daniel then turned and said, "Thanks, guys. We do appreciate your help." And with that, the 24 angels disappeared. To this day, the captain's report of the whole incident, which is classified, offers no other explanation as to how the submarine and its crew was saved that day, except the response given by Sergeant Lenore, "By the power of his God, who hears and answers prayer." But even if the U.S. Navy doesn't understand what happened that day, Sergeant Lenore and his mother understood very clearly what happened. Their Heavenly Father heard and answered their prayers. And by the way, the young sailor on the sub named Tom, after this incident, sought out Jesse and thanked him. They talked, and Jesse, by the grace of God, led Tom to Christ. And true to his word, young Tom resigned from being an atheist and became a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ that day. Praise God. Again, the title of that article is Mission in the Sea, and it's an excerpt from our book, the book I wrote entitled The Intercession Chronicles. And as I mentioned, it is a book that is, it's fiction, but it's based on actual true answers to prayer. And it's meant to strengthen and help set your prayer life on fire. So we are hoping that you will take the time to get a copy of the book. If you'd like to get it from us, my email is joseph@afr.net. And as I said, if you do get it from us rather than from another source, then it will help to support our mobile medical pregnancy ministry, the Pregnancy Care and Hope Center ministry. I'm going to share one more article here. It's entitled Praying for Your Prayer Life. Again, Praying for Your Prayer Life. And each of these articles, if you want to get a copy, simply email us. My email, joseph@afr.net. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 17, pray without ceasing. Then Matthew 21, 13, and he said to them, it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer. Then Mark 1, 35, in the early morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went away to a secluded place and was praying there. Again, Mark 1, 35. As noted above, we are to pray without ceasing. And in Ephesians chapter 6, the Lord says to us in verses 18 to 20, with all prayer and petition at all times in the Spirit, and with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints, and pray on my behalf that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel for which I'm an ambassador in chains, that in proclaiming it, I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Reading that scripture again. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints, and pray on my behalf that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I'm an ambassador in chains, that in proclaiming it, I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. So among other truths we can learn from these passages, we can see that apparently God sees prayer as very, very important in the life of any and every believer. If God sees prayer that way, we would be wise to seek to see it as important to us as it is to God. It's obvious that God wants us to maximize the benefits of ceaseless prayer in our Christian lives. A wise way to approach a command like that is not to say, that's impossible to pray without ceasing. Rather, we're to pray, Lord, help me and teach me how to pray without ceasing. God doesn't ever command us to do things we cannot do. He commands us to do things that we can only do in His power, in His wisdom, and in His grace. So a starting place with this command can be, Lord, teach me how and guide me and strengthen me to pray without ceasing. Another way to pray to help us in this matter is to pray the prayer of Jabez over your prayer life every day. See 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verses 9 to 10. As we do this, our prayer life can grow stronger and stronger, becoming much more fruitful in many ways. The Holy Spirit is our divine tutor. He can teach us how to pray without ceasing and empower us to do just that. So here's a prayer to pray daily over your prayer life. Dear Lord, I praise you and I thank you for the privilege of being able to talk with you in prayer every day. Dear Lord, bless my prayer life indeed, expand its territory, place your hand anew upon it, and keep me from evil that I may not cause pain. In Jesus' name, amen. And then trust God to teach you new insights about prayer. And then pray, pray, pray. Both now and as you learn more, be a disciple that is living a prayer-filled life. Reading that last sentence again. Both now and as you learn more, be a disciple that is living a prayer-filled life. Again, the title of this second article, Praying for Your Prayer Life. And again, if you'd like to get a copy of that article, or both of the articles, again, the first one, Mission in the Sea, and the second one, Praying for Your Prayer Life, simply email us, joseph at AFR.net. We'll be glad to get it to you. Again, Joseph at AFR.net. We pick up now reading through the Word of God. 2 Chronicles chapter 17, picking up at verse 1. Then Jehoshaphat, Asa's son, became the next king. He strengthened Judah to stand against any attack from Israel. He stationed troops in all the fortified cities of Judah, and he assigned additional garrisons to the land of Judah and to the towns of Ephraim that his father Asa had captured. The Lord was with Jehoshaphat because he followed the example of his father's early years and did not worship the image of Baal. He sought his father's God and obeyed his commands instead of following the evil practices of the kingdom of Israel. So the Lord established Jehoshaphat's control over the kingdom of Judah. All the people of Judah brought gifts to Jehoshaphat, so he became very wealthy and highly esteemed. He was deeply committed to the ways of the Lord. He removed the pagan shrines and Asherah poles from Judah. In the third year of his reign, Jehoshaphat sent his officials to teach in all the towns of Judah. These officials included Ben-Hail, Obadiah, Zechariah, Nethanel, and Micaiah. He sent Levites along with them, including Shemaiah, Nethaniah, Zebadiah, Asahel, Shemaramoth, Jehonathan, Adonijah, Tobijah, and Tob-Adonijah. He also sent out the priests Elishama and Jehoram. They took copies of the book of the law of the Lord and traveled around through all the towns of Judah, teaching the people. Then the fear of the Lord fell over all the surrounding kingdoms, so that none of them wanted to declare war on Jehoshaphat. Some of the Philistines brought him gifts and silver as tribute, and the Arabs brought 7,700 rams and 7,700 male goats. So Jehoshaphat became more and more powerful and built fortresses and storage cities throughout Judah. He stored numerous supplies in Judah's towns and stationed an army of seasoned troops at Jerusalem. His army was enrolled according to ancestral clans. From Judah, there were 300,000 troops organized in units of 1,000 under the command of Adnah. Next in command was Jehohanan, who commanded 280,000 troops. Next was Amasiah, son of Zichri, who volunteered for the Lord's service with 200,000 troops under his command. From Benjamin, there were 200,000 troops equipped with bows and shields. They were under the command of Eliada, a veteran soldier. Next in command was Jehozabad, who commanded 180,000 armed men. These were the troops stationed in Jerusalem to serve the king, besides those Jehoshaphat stationed in the fortified towns throughout Judah. 2 Chronicles chapter 18. Jehoshaphat enjoyed great riches and high esteem, and he made an alliance with Ahab of Israel by having his son marry Ahab's daughter. A few years later, he went to Samaria to visit Ahab, who prepared a great banquet for him and his officials. They butchered great numbers of sheep, goats, and cattle for the feast. Then Ahab enticed Jehoshaphat to join forces with him to recover Ramoth-Gilead. "Will you go with me to Ramoth-Gilead?" King Ahab of Israel asked King Jehoshaphat of Judah. Jehoshaphat replied, "Why, of course. You and I are as one, and my troops are your troops. We will certainly join you in battle." Then Jehoshaphat added, "But first, let's find out what the Lord says." Verses 1 through 4, 2 Chronicles chapter 18. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession as we've been reading through the Word of God. We'll be back. Music from Covenant Church with I Will Lift Up My Eyes. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. We pick up now reading through the Word of God in the New Testament, the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 10, beginning at verse 1. Then I saw another mighty angel coming down from heaven, surrounded by a cloud, with a rainbow over his head. His face shone like the sun, and his feet were like pillars of fire. And in his hand was a small scroll that had been opened. He stood with his right foot on the sea and his left foot on the land. And he gave a great shout like the roar of a lion. And when he shouted, the seven thunders answered. When the seven thunders spoke, I was about to write, but I heard a voice from heaven saying, keep secret what the seven thunders said and do not write it down. Then the angel I saw standing on the sea and on the land raised his right hand toward heaven. He swore an oath in the name of the one who lives forever and ever, who created the heavens and everything in them, the earth and everything in it, and the sea and everything in it. He said, there will be no more delay. When the seventh angel blows his trumpet, God's mysterious plan will be fulfilled. It will happen just as he announced it to his servants, the prophets. Then the voice from heaven spoke to me again. Go and take the open scroll from the hand of the angel who is standing on the sea and on the land. So I went to the angel and told him to give me the small scroll. Yes, take it and eat it, he said. It will be sweet as honey in your mouth, but it will turn sour in your stomach. So I took the small scroll from the hand of the angel, and I ate it. It was sweet in my mouth, but when I swallowed it, it turned sour in my stomach. Then I was told, You must prophesy again about many peoples, nations, languages, and kings. Revelation chapter 11. Then I was given a measuring stick, and I was told, go and measure the temple of God and the altar and count the number of worshipers. But do not measure the outer courtyard, for it has been turned over to the nations, They will trample the holy city for 42 months, and I will give power to my two witnesses, and they will be clothed in burlap and will prophesy during those 1,260 days. These two prophets are the two olive trees and the two lampstands that stand before the Lord of all the earth. If anyone tries to harm them, fire flashes from their mouths and consumes their enemies. This is how anyone who tries to harm them must die. They have power to shut the sky so that no rain will fall for as long as they prophesy. And they have the power to turn the rivers and oceans into blood, and to strike the earth, and to strike the earth with every kind of plague as often as they wish. When they complete their testimony, the beast that comes up out of the bottomless pit will declare war against them, and he will conquer them and kill them, and their bodies will lie in the main street of Jerusalem, the city that is figuratively called Sodom and Egypt, the city where the Lord was crucified. And for 3.5 days, all peoples, tribes, languages, and nations will stare at their bodies. No one will be allowed to bury them. All the people who belong to this world will gloat over them and give presents to each other to celebrate the death of the two prophets who had tormented them. But after 3.5 days, God breathed life into them, and they stood up. Terror struck all who were staring at them. Then a loud voice from heaven called to the two prophets, "Come up here." And they rose to heaven in a cloud as their enemies watched. At the same time, there was a terrible earthquake that destroyed a tenth of the city. 7,000 people died in that earthquake, and everyone else was terrified and gave glory to the God of heaven. The second terror is past, but look, the third terror is coming quickly. Then the seventh angel blew his trumpet, and there were loud voices shouting in heaven, "The world has now become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he will reign forever and ever." The 24 elders sitting on their thrones before God fell with their faces to the ground and worshiped him, and they said, "We give thanks to you, Lord God the Almighty, the one who is and who always was, for now you have assumed your great power and have begun to reign. The nations were filled with wrath, but now the time of your wrath has come. It is time to judge the dead and reward your servants, the prophets, as well as your holy people, and all who fear you and all who fear your name, from the least to the greatest. It is time to destroy all who have caused destruction, all who have caused destruction on the earth." Then in heaven, the temple of God was opened, and the ark of his covenant could be seen inside the temple. Lightning flashed, thunder crashed and roared, and there was an earthquake and a terrible hailstorm. Revelation chapter 12. Then I witnessed in heaven an event of great significance. I saw a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon beneath her feet, and a crown of 12 stars on her head. She was pregnant, and she cried out because of her labor pains and the agony of giving birth. Then I witnessed in heaven another significant event. I saw a large red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns, with 7 crowns on his heads. His tail swept away 1/3 of the stars in the sky, and he threw them to the earth. He stood in front of the woman as she was about to give birth, ready to devour her baby as soon as it was born. She gave birth to a son. She gave birth to a son who was to rule all nations with an iron rod. And her child was snatched away from the dragon and was caught up to God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where God had prepared a place to care for her for 1,260 days. Then there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon and his angels. And the dragon lost the battle, and he and his angels were forced out of heaven. This great dragon, the ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, the one deceiving the whole world, was thrown down to the earth with all his angels. Then I heard a loud voice shouting across the heavens, "It has come at last, salvation and power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ. For the accuser of our brothers and sisters has been thrown down to earth, the one who accuses them before our God day and night. And they have defeated him by the blood of the Lamb and by their testimony. And they did not love their lives so much that they were afraid to die. Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who live in the heavens, rejoice. But terror will come to the earth and the sea. For the devil has come down to you in great anger, knowing that he has little time." When the dragon realized that he had been thrown down to the earth, he pursued the woman who had given birth to the male child. But she was given two wings like those of a great eagle, so she could fly to the place prepared for her in the wilderness. There she would be cared for and protected from the dragon for a time, times, and half a time. Then the dragon tried to drown the woman with a flood of water that flowed from his mouth. But the earth helped her by opening its mouth and swallowing the river that gushed out from the mouth of the dragon. And the dragon was angry at the woman and declared war against the rest of her children, all who keep God's commandments and maintain their testimony for Jesus. Then the dragon took his stand on the shore beside the sea. End of Revelation chapter 12. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession as we've been reading through the Word of God. Just a reminder once again, if you're wanting to get a copy of our book, The Intercession Chronicles, which does have a prayer guide at the back, once again, we invite you to you can go to resources.afa.net, of course, and a number of other platforms. But if you'd consider getting it through us, simply email me. My email is joseph@afr.net. And if you'd like to order it from us directly, it will help to benefit the pregnancy ministry, the Pregnancy Care and Hope Center ministry. So we invite you to prayerfully consider that. But either way, again, we hope that you will get the book. And remember, it's a good book to give as a gift to help others both. In that, because it's an entertaining book, it's a fun book to read, but at the same time, it's a tool that can clearly be used by the Holy Spirit to set your prayer life on fire. And it does have a very helpful prayer guide at the back, so we hope that you will get it. Once again, my email, joseph@afr.net. We hope that you will be in touch to do just that. As we usually do before we end the broadcast, if you are listening today, and you have never asked Jesus Christ to come into your heart to be your Lord and Savior, to save you and make you brand new, today is a wonderful day, a great day to be saved and fully commit your life to Christ. If you wish to make that step, would you, from your heart, pray this prayer with us even now? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so much that you came into this world a long time ago. You lived. You died on the cross to pay for all my sins. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess, I've sinned and done wrong in many, many ways. Lord, I repent and I turn from all the wrong I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for all the wrong things that I've done. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. In your word, you told us, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Right now, Lord, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Make me the person you want me to be. Help me to read your word daily. Help me to follow you and seek you in prayer daily. Help me to live what I learn daily. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Well, if you committed your life to Christ and prayed that prayer, we want to be in touch with you. Once again, my email is joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. We do want to get into your possession some literature and resource materials that'll help you to begin to grow up and grow strong in your new walk with the Lord. Please get in touch with us. Once again, that email, joseph@afr.net. And if you'd like to get copies of the articles we shared as well, the first article was entitled Mission in the Sea, and the second article entitled Praying for Your Prayer Life. Same email, joseph@afr.net. We'll be glad to get those to you as well. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.